Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Do you remember a time when someone you have known dies? And as you read his or her obituary, you find out something about that person that you never knew before, something that you did not know you had in common. And you think, wow, if I had only known that, my relationship with that individual would have been even richer or more meaningful. A byproduct of this experience is a feeling of regret. This is the feeling I had this past week in a very unique circumstance. Let me explain. Recently, a number of individuals, including members of this parish, had suggested that I see the movie, Won't You Be My Neighbor? I found that idea both a curious and intriguing recommendation. I understood it to be a documentary about Fred Rogers, creator of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, a PBS show for children, which ran from 1966 to 2001. As the parent of two young children during that time span, I was more than familiar with the show, the songs, the cardigan sweaters, the tennis shoes, the puppets, and the trolleys. While my memory was that it was a pretty sweet show, I don't remember actually sitting down with the kids and specifically watching it for its content. The show became more background noise while I was doing the dishes or folding the laundry. So I was not really sure why people were suggesting that I see this movie. However, last Tuesday was a rather slow day. So I popped into Christina's office and asked if she wanted to go on a road trip. Where to? She asked with enthusiasm. How about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? I responded. She hid her disappointment well, but with her typical enthusiasm, said, sure, let's go. It was with that perspective that Christina and I went down to the Charles to see it. It was an unexpectedly powerful film, both personally and theologically. I want to share an overview with you as an invitation to encourage you to go see it. Fred Rogers was born in 1928. He was a trained musician as well as an ordained Presbyterian minister. As a child, Fred was overweight and therefore experienced a lot of bullying. He was also often sick and quarantined to his room, resulting in long periods of seclusion and loneliness. Consequently, these two factors were pivotal to his development as an adult. He was keenly aware of children's feelings, and he cultivated his sense of imagination that had become his defense of being isolated as a child. As a progressive Christian, biblical scholar, and pacifist, Mr. Rogers dealt with issues of that time, including the Cold War, the space race, Vietnam, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and assassinations. Many of the storylines that played out in Rogers' Neighborhood of Make-Believe seemed abstract, incorporating simple moral lessons. But set within the context of that culture, Roger's commentary reflected the senselessness of war, nuclear proliferation, and racial injustice. The show attempted to teach children more peaceful and loving alternatives, underscoring Fred's theology about peace, nonviolence, caring for the environment. Roger's theology was one of complete acceptance of a child through love. He yearned to make them feel special and safe. He believed there was a divine spark within each of us. As one commentator said, his theology could be encapsulated in three areas. First, concern for the vulnerable. He was fond of saying, "You've made this day a special day by just being you." He was anxious to affirm the uniqueness and value of each child. Second, harmony through unconditional acceptance of each child. He wanted to be an advocate for their concerns and fears. And third, social mindfulness. For Mr. Rogers, the ability to balance the first two, vulnerability and harmony, hinged on slowing down, to pause the pace of their young lives and listen to them with the head and heart. Each aspect of the show pointed to a gentle and calming of ideas. As the movie unfolded, so did that sense of regret I referenced at the beginning of the sermon. I had completely missed the prophetic perspective the show offered. I had missed the fact that it was radical for its time. I had missed the subtle but significant cultural and social lessons Mr. Rogers was respectfully attempting to teach the children. I suppose I was just too busy washing the dishes or folding the laundry. But I am just thankful that I wasn't too busy last Tuesday to go see it. The power of the film lies not in just looking back as a historical documentary, but is equally compelling for its contemporary theological relevancy. While "Won't You Be My Neighbor" is the title of the movie, it also is the question that is before us as Christians each and every day. It is the question that should inform our actions as a nation. It is the question that should inform our response as a city, and a question that should inform our behavior as a church. How do we live into being a neighbor? How fascinating that Mr. Rogers' message to children a generation ago is reemerging to grown-ups today. As one commentator wrote, and I quote, "Won't You Be My Neighbor" tells its story beautifully and challenges its audience to think about Fred Rogers, this childhood figure, in adult terms. He concludes, "The end result made me think about how I act and engage in my own faith." Such a rare, perfect feeling after watching a movie, unquote. I would leave the popcorn alone and take Kleenex. Amen. Christina, do you want to add anything about our road trip? if you will turn to the back page of your bulletin.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?